Okay, so let's say you're at a restaurant and you really want a glass of wine. Say, a nice Merlot, a nice California Merlot. But you see a fellow believer in the booth across the way. And you know that this person has a real hang-up about alcohol. They think it's wrong. They think it's a sin. They think it's evil. And they think that anybody who drinks wine is a sinner. Now, the question is, should you drink the wine or should you not? Would you be offending your brother by drinking the wine? These are real world situations, ladies and gentlemen. You can apply this to wine. You can apply it in the Baptist world. It's far more subtle than that. Some people who still have friends in the Baptist world, you know, Baptists are against playing cards, against dancing. How far do you go to conform yourself, to contort your life, to give up your own freedom for someone else? Where is the line? Are you suddenly not free to enjoy the world because of the chance that you might offend someone? Paul deals with this very issue in Romans chapter 14. Therefore, I'm going to deal with this very issue. We have all sorts of hazards out here. The air conditioning thing comes on, causes some background noise. The wind's blowing. My camera could blow over at any time. There's an iguana that lives around here that's about 3 foot long. He's green. I hope he shows up. If he does, I'll put him on camera. Romans 14, the infirm in faith, be taking to yourselves. And Paul gives a real-world example in verse 2 of Romans 14. One indeed is believing to eat all things. Let's take meat as an example here. Steak. One person is believing to eat all things, yet the infirm one is eating greens. So in this case, the person who has scruples, in this era of grace, the person who's like afraid to drink wine or afraid to eat meat, or afraid to dance, afraid to do something that, is a little bit dangerous. That is the person that's infirm. They're actually sick. Now, and I'm not talking about a person who refuses to eat meat for other reasons, like a vegetarian for health reasons or whatever. Someone who has religious scruples. I can't eat meat because Jesus would be mad at me. I can't do the watusi. I can't do the twist, because Jesus would be mad at me. If I drink that wine, Jesus, even though he turned water into wine, would somehow still be mad at me. So what am I supposed to do, Martin? Well, the first thing you need to realize is it's the infirm one who has the scruples, okay? Now, Paul says, let not him who is eating be scorning him who is not eating. Let not the one who eats the steak, dances the twist, let not that person be scorning. It's like, oh, that stupid, weak guy over there can't even drink Merlot, can't even drink fermented grape juice. That's scorning. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to mock them. Yet, let not him who is not eating be judging him who is eating. And boy, it's very easy for those people who have these scruples to look at us who are free in Christ and do all these crazy things like eating steak and drinking wine, or smoking cigars, or smoking cigarettes, whatever. It's so easy for them to judge us. It's like, oh, you sinner, you sinner. But the question is, how do we deal with these people? We're going to get to that here. Paul says to the person who is judging the one who has the freedom, who are you who are judging another's domestic? To his own master he's standing or falling. He will be made to stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. God is going to make all these people stand, whether you're enjoying your freedom. We're going to get back to the guy at the restaurant with the wine, don't worry. Whether you're enjoying it or you're trepidatious and scared of fermented grape juice, God can make each person stand. What indeed is deciding for one day rather than another day? Yet one is deciding for every day. Another great example, days, observance of days. Somebody thinks that to be a good Christian, you have to observe the National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday of every May. First Thursday of May, National Day of Prayer. If you don't pray on that day, you're just not a believer. You don't believe in Christ. You're a heathen. And yet, I pray every day. I pray without ceasing. The Spirit of God in me makes intercession constantly with inarticulate groanings, sounding something like this. Yeah. I do that myself. I join the spirit of a God within me in a duet of groaning. Yeah. So to me, it's ridiculous to set aside a day for prayer. You might as well set aside a day for breathing. Why don't we have National Breathing Day? Why don't we have National Eating Day? National Drink Water Day? It's ridiculous. But hey, if you want to recognize that day, go for it. You want to hold hands and get in a prayer circle? You must get in a prayer circle, remember. Prayer squares do not work. God does not recognize the prayer square. God help you if you ever try to execute a prayer parallelogram. Your petition will fall upon deaf ears. Let each one be fully assured in his own mind, Paul says in verse 5. He was disposed to the day, is disposed to it, to the Lord. The person who's all into the day of prayer, I'm doing this for God. The person like me who's not into any days, recognizing days, I'm doing it unto God. Yet I drink wine unto the Lord. I smoke a cigarette unto the Lord. I smoke cigars unto the Lord. Yeah, I go to Mango's down here once in a while on Las Olas Boulevard, and I boogie down to the Lord. I haven't done that in a while, though. To live is Christ. This is the great thing. But the infirm in faith don't see it that way. Do they? No. Let each one be fully assured in his own mind. He was eating is eating to the Lord, thanking God. He was not eating to the Lord is not eating. And is thanking God. They're both thanking God.
Dear God, I thank you that you make me observe the day of prayer on the first Thursday of every May. I thank you that you're deaf and you don't know what's going on unless we get together in large groups of people with the American flag and tell you what's going on and make you aware of the problems that we're having down here on earth. I thank you that I feel guilty unless I fold my hands or press them together in the shape of a church steeple and offer them to you, especially on the first Thursday in May.
Well, if you want to thank God for that, okay, that's where they are. That's where they are. I'm not going to force them not to, but God help them if they force me to do it. That's this whole thing. Let each one be assured in their own mind. Paul's not saying one's right and one. Paul's not saying they're both right or they're both wrong. He's saying, no, the guy who's not observing today, the guy who's eating everything, that guy's actually more spiritually mature. This other person is infirm in faith. But what do you do with sick people? What do you do? When you see an old man on the street with a cane, what do you do? Kick out the cane? What do? Laugh at him? Look at you with that cane. No, you feel bad for him. You feel a little sorry for him, you know, and you don't kick the cane out. So I'm not going to kick out the National Day of Prayer for somebody who thinks that they ought to observe that day. Paul says, none of us is living or dying to ourselves. Yeah, we're all in this together. We have people at different levels of faith in the body of Christ, and we need to recognize that. We need to be nice to them. Don't kick their canes out from under them. But don't kick my glass of Merlot out from under me either. And I'm not going to let you do that, as we're going to see. Why are you judging your brother? Verse 10, we'll all be presented at the dais of God. Got that. We're all going to give an account of ourselves. Of course, Paul, yes, of course. Oh, this is amazing. Verse 14 of Romans 14. It's amazing that an ex-Pharisee, well, not so much an ex-Pharisee, well, that anybody who used to be a Pharisee could actually say this. This is Paul. This is scripture. This is true. Hold on to yourself here. I mean, not literally. Well, you can if you want to. That's also a freedom you have. You can hold on to yourself. You can hold on to yourself if you want. Totally free to do that. I am perceived and am persuaded. I have perceived and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is contaminating of itself, except that the one reckoning anything to be contaminating, to that one it is contaminating. This is an amazing statement. Nothing is contaminating in itself. There's a nude beach down here in North Miami, Aventura. And a lot of people think that it's just horrible that anybody would take their clothes off in front of other people. It's contaminated. It's terrible. They think the human body is actually ugly and dirty and contaminated. Well, to them, it is. It's actually contaminated if they think it is. But the one to whom all things are pure and clean and beautiful, all things are pure, clean, and beautiful, including the naked body, wine, cigars. Yes, it's not contaminating to the one who, and we're talking about contamination before God, before Christ. It doesn't lessen you in God's sight. This is amazing. Nothing is contaminating of itself because God made it. It's pure. Tobacco, God made it. It's like a leaf. It grows in a plant. Marijuana is a plant. It's not contaminating. God made it. God made the flesh of the animal to be consumed. God made the human body. But to the one who thinks it's contaminating, yeah, because they're guilting themselves into the contamination. They're convinced. They're convinced that this is a sin. It's a sin if I smoke a cigarette. That's what they say. If I even put a tobacco product to my lips, I am sinning against God and Christ. So to that person, it actually is a sin. They're going against their conscience. So where's your conscience? Where's your faith? It's a matter of faith. Hook up a faithometer and find out where their faith is. The person who has faith can eat, drink, and do marry and be very happy. The person who everything is a sin, to that person, it actually is a sin. So that they put these narrow, this little tripwire so tightly around their lives that they're, no wonder they're constantly thinking about sin, because they make everything a sin. And so every time they turn around, they're hitting the tripwire. It's like, oh, that's a sin. Remember that game Operation? When I was a kid, they had that game where you had little metal tweezers and you tried to take little organ parts out of this little guy that had metal all around him, and you had to be very delicate. You had to try to get the tweezers in without hitting the metal tweezer on the metal outline of the guy, at which point a light would go off. It's like, you just killed the guy. That's how some people live their lives. They give themselves so little space that every little thing they do is a sin. It's a sin. That's going to be a sin. A sin. A sin. It's called sin consciousness, and it's a terrible way to live. Some people live that way. We can prod them. We can exhort them to move on, to expand their faith, but we don't want to kick their little sin canes out from under them. If you want to play Operation, if you want to try to take the liver out of little Harvey there, then good luck. There's no room for error there. All right, the wind blew my page out here. Okay. For if because of food your brother is sorrowing, you are no longer walking out of love. Do not by your food destroy that one for whose sake Christ died. This is the key. Don't destroy the one. How can I destroy? Back to the restaurant. How can I destroy this guy by enjoying my wine, even if I know he might be looking at me out of the corner of my eye? Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. It's this, is if I take my free, this is what Paul's talking about. I take my freedom and I force it on somebody else and I mock them. Like if I went over to his table, the guy who thinks wine is a sin, I'm drinking wine, there he is, oh crap, why is he over there? Wow, Lord, why'd you do this to me? I'm looking forward all week to having a glass of wine at Bennigan's, whatever, and now this guy over here, oh God, ruined my evening. Shouldn't ruin your evening. If you went over there and mocked the dude and said, Jerry, when are you going to get a clue? Taste this wine. It's so good. Come on, Jerry. Drink it. Drink the wine. Put it right up to him. That's the sin. Because if he drinks it, Paul goes on here. I got a few minutes left. If Jerry drinks it, he's going to sin. You can drink gallons of it and you're not going to sin. Jerry will sin. This is why you can't destroy him. So it's not the fact that you're doing something in front of him. It's that you're destroying him. So not on, Paul says in verse 20, not on account of food, demolish the work of God. Well, the work of God, you're not going to literally, absolutely demolish the work of God, but God is working in Jerry's life. And he's doing it in God, in his own time. So we're not going to wreck God's timing for Jerry. Now we can talk to him and it's like, Jerry, have you ever considered, maybe just plant the seed that the wine is good. Steak is delicious. Plant the seed. The nude beach is really a primal, beautiful experience. Well, just plant the seed, but don't force it on them. Don't hijack them and take them to Aventura and tell them, time to take off your clothes, Jerry. Don't do that. So we're perfuing. Well, if you're perfuing, I feel sorry for you. You better get into a prayer circle and pray your way out of that. But we are pursuing that which makes for peace and that which is for the edification of one another. Here it is. Verse 20 also. Fantastic verse. Unbelievable thing that an ex-Pharisee would say. All indeed is clean. All is clean. That goes along with nothing is contaminating. Paul's stating it in the negative, nothing is contaminating. And in the positive, all is clean. But it's evil to the man who with stumbling is eating. It's evil to the man, to the person who is stumbling while doing it. So it's the fact that you are forcing the person to do it. If they're actually eating the meat that they think is a sin, if they're drinking the wine that they think is a sin, if they're smoking the cigarette that they think it's a sin, that is what you're not supposed to do. And that will be a stumbling for that person. Then Paul says in verse 21, it is ideal not to be eating meat, nor yet to be drinking wine, nor yet to do aught by which your brother is stumbling or is being snared or weakened. And this has nothing to do with just the guy seeing you doing it. Otherwise, you're giving up. Paul wants you to live in your freedoms. Otherwise, you'd be giving up your freedoms if you decided to live your life in accord with how everybody else wanted you to live. But people mistake this chapter as Paul saying, give up all your freedoms and live your life according to other people's expectations of you. Buddy, lady, my friends, you're going to be miserable if you do that. You will have no freedom at all, because people will be offended at anything, no matter what you do. If you eat, put your fork on the wrong side of your plate. Don't you know that's your salad fork? I'm offended by that. You're supposed to be over here. There's no end to the crap people can put on you. There are people who make a living out of being offended by things, and there's no end to us. No, we're not supposed to live that way. And here's the key right here. The faith, this is verse 22. The faith which you have for yourself in God's sight. Happy is he who is not judging himself in that which he is attesting. So have it to yourself in God's sight. I'm not saying you should do it in somebody's face. Even if you're not going to force somebody to do something, you shouldn't do it in their face. You shouldn't come up to them and go, nah, nah. No, that's not the right thing to do. But you can still enjoy it before God. You can enjoy it to yourself, right? The faith you have for yourself in God's sight. Happy is he who is not judging himself. Don't judge yourself. Now, he who is doubting if he should be eating is condemned. He who is doubting if he should be eating. This is talking about the people partaking in the very thing that they think is a sin. Why would they do that? If you, as a free person, as a person with gobs of faith, challenge them, shame them into partaking of the thing, that is what will destroy them. That is what will ruin, in a relative sense, the work of God in their life, and that is what will make them stumble and be self-condemned, seeing that it is not out of faith. If they do it because they see you doing it, or if they do it because you challenge them or shame them, that's not out of faith. It's out of your faith, but it's not out of their faith. Everybody has their own degree of faith. And Paul says everything which is not out of faith is sin. So to that person, it is a sin if they do it. So this weekend, if you have the faith for it, have a sip of Merlot and tip a glass to me. I'll do the same to you. And then on Monday, maybe we'll go to the nude beach in Aventura.